Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jared takes, stumbles coming out of there, wants to throw, does that. You got a man wide open. Sam LaPorta, touchdown Detroit Lions. Oh my goodness. Jared stumbled coming out from behind center, regained composure, regained his grip on the football, and then threw it down to a wide open Sam LaPorta for a touchdown, 21 yards on the connection.
I think he did that on purpose. I think Jared Goff did that on purpose.
Lions Radio, how did everyone know right away that this was on purpose? And it was. It's like a stumble bum. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff.
I think it's because a running back stumbled too. Like, what are the odds?
I don't know. It's a football game. This happens all the time. I feel like an offensive lineman steps on Jared Goff's foot like three times a game. Anyway, I was just really surprised by this. First of all, Lions win. You know, this is setting up to be perhaps a winner-take-all week 18, depending how the next week goes, Pearl. But this is off of a week where Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Lions, said the team needed a humbling. Right, he said the team was eating filet. They should be eating moldy bread, you know, trying to remember to stay humble and to stay hungry and all of that. So the way that you show that you're a hungry team that's now refocused is to pull a fake fumble move against the Bears? This doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, God, I like it. Yeah, you know, all that stuff too. But honestly, like, I think Lions fans have a lot of reasons to be nervous. Caleb Williams was very, very comfortable in the pocket last night. They could not get any kind of pass rush. The Lions, I think that stumble is fun, but like, does it sort of alleviate the pain of all these injuries? Like, it's scary times for Detroit. And you saw it, like, you really noticed that defense was different. I know Chicago didn't score a lot of points, but one, it was freezing, and B, the Bears have given up on the season there. I mean, their coaching situation is as bad as the Jets. But I saw the Lions. I know they won 34-17 and they were in control the whole game. It just doesn't look perfect to me defensively at all.
Well, how could it? I mean, they've lost so many players now. But on the offensive side, this is what's going to have to win them games.
But also, to the not having David Montgomery puts a lot on Jahmyr Gibbs. So he's got to carry it a lot. That's the other concern for them. They are amazing. You know what they have? They have two secret weapons. Amon-Ra St. Brown is unbelievable.
Of course.
And Jahmyr Gibbs is unbelievable. But
Jameson Williams as the deep threat, which is a massive touchdown.
And also Ben Johnson with these flourishes. You don't know what's coming with the Lions offense. You don't know if it's going to be a pass or a run. That's why they are so scary. I don't know if that's talent or Ben Johnson. I don't think you're as into him as I am, but I love the way he schemes, especially run plays. First down, like, it's really hard to get 6 yards on a run. They do it all the time.
I just don't understand. We played a clip earlier. Andrew Bogish had it in his update of Jared Goff admitting to the media that Ben Johnson asked him earlier in the week, is it possible for you to fumble the ball on purpose and then pick it back up as some kind of play? And this is, I think, at the heart of what bothers me about things like that, because first of all, that's so stupid. That's such a stupid idea. Like, they say there's no dumb ideas. We found one.
Well, what about the fumble Ruski? That's the greatest play ever. They left the ball on the ground just sitting there for like a few seconds.
To fumble the ball on purpose.
Yeah, the fumble Ruski. New version of the fumble Ruski. I love it.
Okay, wait. We have that audio. Here is Jared Goff talking about his conversation with Ben Johnson earlier in the week.
At first, it started on Monday with Ben asking me if he thought I could like actually fumble on purpose and pick it back up. I don't know about that, and that we kind of got off that pretty quickly, and we're like, let's just pretend we're falling or pretend I'm fumbling and I'm holding on to the ball. And I think the part that Gibbs, where he dives, really sells the play.
Can you imagine that Jared Goff had to be the adult in the room to tell the coach, hey, we shouldn't try this? I mean, there's another professional football team on the other side of this contest. And just think about the flip. And I hate doing the, what coulda, shoulda been, because that's like the Dan Campbell story in a nutshell. But imagine if somehow that gets messed up, Pearl, and they actually do fumble the ball, and let's say that the Bears take that back for a pick six or whatever it's going to be, and then it comes out later in the week or after the game that they were trying to fumble in some kind of bizarre, what, to embarrass the Bears? Just win the game, which I know they did. But I hate it when this is the
other part. All the good teams seem to do trick plays. Like the Chiefs do a ton of them.
Don't you think the Chiefs have earned it a little bit with three Super Bowls in the last 5 years?
Some of the, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel like, it feels like there's a strategic reason to do trick plays too. Like the Eagles do a lot of them. I think a lot of the good coaches do trick plays. Maybe they're just bored, but I do think, yeah, I think this is not like, oh, we're just doing this to show up somebody. I think trick plays have a big strategic reason. It keeps the defense off balance. I mean, I think a lot of people said, like, why'd you waste that in the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, you've said that you think that the Lions' aggressiveness on fourth down and some of that trickery actually opens the door for them to more likely lose.
Fourth and three, going for it at your 20-yard line, there's no trickery.
No, I said like, fourth down and doing stuff like this.
No, 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 it's not the trickery. No. It's specifically the fourth down calls. Because unless you really are confident you're going to make fourth and three, you're putting yourself in so much harm's way. And they did again against Chicago. They left points on the field when they had an easy field goal. Please. The rest of the NFC should thank God for Dan Campbell on fourth down.
Well, it's Ben Johnson, too. See, you love Ben Johnson, skewer Campbell. I think they're all in it together, and it looks like Johnson is a little bit of a wild card here. He really wanted Jared Goff to fumble the ball on purpose. And this is the other part that bothers me, and I feel like I see this sometimes with coordinators when they're on the cusp of getting head coaching jobs. And there's already been a big link between the Bears and Ben Johnson. They know that he's going to interview for the job and all that. I don't like it when coordinators audition on my time. Your resume is already great as an offensive coordinator. We see what the Lions are doing. You know, you've gotten plenty of interviews in the past. You probably could have had that Commanders job if you wanted it, and you would have had Jaden Daniels, and it probably would have been fun. But don't audition on my time.
But
just win the game.
Well, that was a big play. That was a great.
Did they need it?
Maybe they should have saved it for the playoffs. I mean, that's the only concern I have. Yeah, they probably did need it for sure. They won 34-17, but that's just because Chicago made some like critical offensive errors. Like they were not far off in that entire game, and there was a point where it looked like the Bears were going to really make a run at them. They definitely needed, because it was hard. It was freezing. They couldn't throw the ball downfield. What was wrong about that play? I actually, again, thank God they use it there and not later, because it totally fooled the defense.
855-212-4227. I didn't love it. Perloff loved it. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, I did fourth and three. Here come the Lions. Here's a play where Jared Goff has no chance of making a completion. I like it. I'm telling you, the Lions better figure this out, Maggie.
No, this is just who they are.
Who they are is not a thing. That doesn't make any sense. I don't want to hear, you know what, it was fourth and six, and Jared Goff got sacked for 17 yards. Like, that's just who they are. Just have a real game plan here, Lions.
Let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, let's begin in Atlanta, where Michael Penix won his debut over the Giants 34-7.
Thank you, Manny. I was impressed by this. Listen, the Giants are actively trying to lose, maybe not on the field, but kind of. They get called for so many penalties. Awful. Penix throws a pretty ball. We knew that. Ball's going all over the field. And if it wasn't for Kyle Pitts really just handing the ball to the defense and pitching it right into their hands, yeah, this would have looked even worse.
Yeah. Real test next week gets an NFL team when Penix plays the Commanders. I'm very high on him. He did not push the ball downfield at all. I think his longest pass was 20 yards or something. So we'll see you next week.
All right, let's go to Cincinnati. Bengals beat the Browns 24-6. Three more touchdowns for Joe Burrow.
This was a crazy game because the Bengals kind of were still alive and they needed it. And there was a Dorian Thompson-Robinson run to, I think it was either to tie the game or make it real close. And the Browns just kept getting either formation or holding calls against them. The Bengals, some, I know they won 24-6. They somehow made this a very, very tight contest.
If Joe Burrow had been in the MVP conversation and they'd won more games, he would have had his moment yesterday where he is basically in midair throwing a touchdown pass to T. Higgins where he's laid out like Superman. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, they're very lucky to get the W on that game. And DTR is not a good quarterback either.
Let's go to Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor made up for last week's gaffe with 218 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns in a win over the Titans.
How did this game become close, though? That was my question. You had the Colts up to this really big lead, and then all of a sudden, here were the Titans basically on the verge of tying the game. I don't feel comfortable about either of these teams.
Ooh, the Colts are going to be 9-8 for, I think, the second straight season. Is that good? I have no idea.
I can't even imagine anyone betting on Anthony Richardson. I can't even imagine what that experience is like to watch him. It's like we're seeing Jameis, but a better runner.
I don't know. I think if they have 2 straight winning seasons, are you excited for them?
No. I don't trust Anthony Richardson at all. Love watching him play, but I don't trust him.
All right, let's go to MetLife, where the Jets score just 9 points, yet never punted. Rams win this one, going cross-country 19-9.
Yeah, it's a preview of next season. Aaron Rodgers, if you get 300 yards a game, 1 touchdown, and they get a defensive coach in there next year, you could win some games with this formula.
They have a defensive coach in there right now, and they're awful.
No, like if they got Saleh back. Like, they never should have fired Saleh.
That's true. The Rams, meanwhile, still alive to win the conference. They're in position now to claim that NFC West title. They'd wrap up a 3 seed. This is a dangerous team in the playoffs. I would not want to see them.
Thank God for them, they won that. They had no interest in being outside in that game. It was a slow start.
Call him Mr. Clutch. Jaylen Daniels, another late touchdown. He had 5 passing TDs in this one. Commanders beat the Eagles 36-33 at home.
Would have loved to see how this game would have played out if Jalen Hurts would have stayed in the game.
You mean Eagles blowout?
I don't think so, but Jalen Hurts left the game in the first quarter with a concussion. Daniels is unreal at the end of the game because he had 5 turnovers in this game too to go to match the 5 touchdowns. But it feels like an inevitability when he has the ball and they need a score that he can get it done.
I don't know. Eagles up 14-0 with the ball. I don't think the Commanders would have had a chance if Jalen Hurts was still out there. They're up 14-0 with the ball. Basically, Kenny Pickett threw a pick, got them back into the game. Pickett was not good. I'm very curious. It's hard to get back in 1 week from that kind of concussion. Do you just sit Jalen the rest of the season? Probably. Then what do you get come playoff time?
Perloff's least favorite quarterback, Bryce Young, leads the Panthers to a win over the Cars 36-30. Chuba Hubbard, 152 yards rushing.
Yeah, this whole game is hot garbage. James Conner, by the way, got hurt, or I think the Cardinals would have run all over the Panthers' defense. Honestly, I don't care.
I think the question is who has the brighter future, because I think they are going to stay with Bryce Young, and maybe that's a function of the quarterback class not being that deep this year. But he's going to get a second shot, or third shot, I guess, with Dave Canales. And Canales has a good track record with quarterbacks. It's still possible Bryce Young is a thing. And I don't know about the Cardinals. They're always going to be fun, and Kyler's always going to be good but not good enough, feels like.
The Vikings just keep winning. They win 27-24 on the road in Seattle. They touchdown Justin Jefferson, getting one from Sam Darnold.
Okay. I know we have to talk about the specific game, but you cannot let Sam Darnold get out of that building if you're Minnesota. You have to pay him $43 million a year next year. He is the Vikings quarterback. I know you drafted J.J. McCarthy, but didn't it look right to you yesterday, Maggie?
Yeah, but you don't think they're going to win a playoff game.
Well, it depends who they get matched up against.
So they're going to be a 14 or 15 win team that nobody believes can actually win a playoff game. That is a very odd place to be. I'm putting my Sam Darnold slander to the side.
Well, they'll definitely win. If they're the 5 seed, then they'll play the 4 seed. They'll beat the Bucs or the Falcons. So they'll win a playoff game, I think. Darnold just looks great when it matters. He's not perfect by any means, but I can't imagine you'll let that go.
With Jefferson so smooth, too. Nothing looks like it's tough for him.
No.
Nothing looks challenging. He just reminds me a little of Antonio Brown when he was at his peak. They're very different guys, obviously, but everything just looks so effortless.
I saw a lot of angry Maggie tweets from the spa for me. The Bills beat the Patriots 24-21 despite Maggie being unhappy with this performance.
Yeah, you were at the spa. I was living in hell watching the Bills basically blow it to the New England Patriots. I'm going to credit New England here. They had a good game plan for Buffalo. Drake May looked awesome. He was slicing and dicing a very banged up Bills secondary. He's going to be a thing.
Do you think he looked
very
good
soon?
He looked good in the first half. Second half was okay.
Well, you know, it's about time the Bills put some pressure on a rookie quarterback playing on the road.
I don't understand why the Bills just didn't run it down their throat every play. The defense went way back. Like, the safeties were 30 yards down the field. It felt like every time James Cook touched the ball, he got 5 yards past the line of scrimmage before first defender hit.
Yeah, and then he disappeared for a half an hour. I don't understand what they do with him. Meanwhile, Josh Allen looks like it's just an elbow injury. He lost feeling in his hand for 10 minutes. Awesome.
Yeah, it's a contusion, which means nothing. He's fine.
Antonio Pierce ruins the Raiders' tank as they beat the Jaguars 19-14.
This is the worst loss I've seen in forever. Just let Mac Jones score at the end. How hard is that to do? The Raiders, they should have made a decision on Antonio Pierce so he knew what to do. If they said, you're definitely coming back next year and meant it, then he would have lost the game.
Yeah, the Raiders started the day picking second in the draft. They ended the day picking sixth in the draft. This is a basically two-quarterback draft. They need a quarterback, and they may have just blown it because they won against the lowly Jags.
Thank you, AP. Merry Christmas.
I know. Manny's a Giants fan. He loves it.
Let's go to South Beach. The Dolphins beat the Niners 29-17. 120 rush yards from Devin Achane.
This game was a mess. I thought, the Niners, I know they're not playing for anything. They were eliminated, but they were showing a lot of heart beginning of the game. And then it just doesn't look great with Brock Purdy to me. Like, I know they're going to pay him a big amount of money. Like, the offense, he needs to run around a lot. What happened to last year's offense, Maggie?
I don't know.
McCaffrey?
McCaffrey, who I always thought was the MVP. And we are just going to open up the offseason to endless speculation about should they or shouldn't they pay Brock Purdy. And then on the Dolphins side of it, I can't tell what any of these end of the season wins really mean for them. Are they going to keep Mike McDaniel and Tua together and then what? Hope you get a little younger? I can't tell what the future is for the Dolphins.
Well, I mean, Tyreek Hill's unfortunately not getting younger. He's 30 now, and it sure seems like he hit the wall this year.
And finally, Sunday night, Dallas wins just their second home game of the year, beating the Bucs, giving them a crucial blow, and there are playoff chances for the Bucs.
This is a hard-hitting game. This is a fun game to watch, and I think for Dallas, Mike McCarthy is coming back. I don't know if that was Dallas fans just groaning, but I think Jerry is loyal. I think he wants a reason to bring McCarthy back. And the team hasn't quit. They've definitely gotten healthier on defense, and it shows. And they held off a Bucs comeback, Perloff, where the Bucs had everything to play for and the Cowboys had nothing to play for. And you would have been able to tell on the field. They look like both teams are playing extremely hard.
I think you're generally right, but the Cowboys have the Eagles and the Commanders at the end of the season. Now, I don't know if either team is playing their starters. The Eagles might already go into rest mode, but if embarrassing losses to their division rivals, that would be bad for Jerry. I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think either team, I don't think you'll see Jalen Hurts, and I don't think Washington will. I think they'll be stuck in their playoff spot and you won't see Jaden Daniels. But again, like, the last thing that could happen, it's not done for Jerry and McCarthy.
I also don't know who they would bring in. And I think that's the big question. Who do you bring in? Because, you know, they probably love Kellen Moore. So do you bring Kellen Moore back because of what he's done with the Eagles offense this year? Do you bring in Cliff Kingsbury? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you bring back Mike McCarthy, I don't think there's a lot of hope that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl. Well, and maybe that's not a thing.
There might be no hope for the Cowboys no matter who the head coach is.
They have a lot of talent. You see it. Like, they have Micah Parsons. They have CeeDee Lamb. What they need is somebody besides CeeDee Lamb. Like, you know, why were the Bucs just putting every player they had on CeeDee Lamb last night? I guess Rico Dowdle is now a bit of a rushing threat, but it just seemed like the Cowboys have this. They're the same team year in, year out. That's why I would break with McCarthy. I wish I could give you an answer who the better coach is, but I would break and just take a new approach because you gotta try to win the Super Bowl. The point is not to be 12-5.
855-212-4227. All right, coming up, we get back to the college football playoff. Who had the worst loss of the weekend? We'll give you our thoughts next. Nothing says Christmas like DMX. Thank you, Manny. Welcome back. Bing Crosby, DMX. Same, same. Of course, the college football playoff first round, well, a little anticlimactic. too many blowouts. Let's get the thoughts of one of our absolute favorites, someone whose opinion we hold in such high regard. That's Brian Jones, college football analyst for CBS. Brian, happy holidays. How are you?
Maggie, I was expecting some. It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Cooking chicken at Collard Greens. Come on!
Manny is ashamed of himself. Manny, how dare you?
I just recorded that song, too. Just recorded it maybe 5 minutes ago.
I mean, that's a real Christmas song. DMX doesn't really make my top 10, but maybe next year.
I didn't even know DMX had a Christmas song. I'm surprised it's clean. How about that?
Nobody does, Brian. Nobody does. But, okay, so these blowouts, who are you blaming for the blowouts? Did the College Football Playoff Committee get it wrong with some of the teams like Indiana and SMU, or were they just better teams that won these games?
Better teams. It's definitely the latter. First of all, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Hope you have a great one and a safe one. I have no problems with these games. We all want drama and entertainment. And even with the other iteration of the college football playoffs, we had blowouts. You remember Clemson thumping Notre Dame. You in the BCS, Alabama thumping Notre Dame. CFP, Alabama thumping Michigan State. Wasn't it 49-0? I think that was the first or second year of the college football playoffs. So you're going to have games where they're not going to be competitive. That doesn't bother me. Okay, it does bother me. I want some climactic action, which didn't occur over the weekend. And to tell you the truth, the only game I wanted to be a blowout was the Texas game, and that one got a little too close for comfort for me there at the end. So I'm not surprised whatsoever. Quit crying. Just be happy, everyone out there. We have extra football. We have a tournament in college football at the highest level or some semblance of a tournament, but there are going to be tweaks made down the road. Nothing when it first comes out. You know, it's never however we want it to be holistically. You have to make tweaks and amendments here and there, and I think we'll get to that point, and especially starting with the reseeding.
Well, Brian, I'm going to be that guy who makes the argument. You know that Ole Miss and Alabama and Miami and South Carolina would have done much better than some of the teams we saw last weekend.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
If it was a normal temperature, all those teams have more talent than the other teams. And I want to see Cam Ward.
On the weather. Now we want. How about this? It has nothing to do with the weather, SMU. How about you not turn the ball over, Kevin Jennings? How about you not act like you have never thrown a football in your life? You've never seen an opposing team's jersey in your life. I mean, it was just idiotic, some of the plays made in that ball game. And it was similar to what occurred in the ACC Championship game versus Clemson, where they allowed them to get out to a big lead because of the turnovers. I don't think it had anything to do with the weather. Everyone has to deal with the weather. Now, I will say this, Andrew, Tennessee running out there prior to that Ohio State game, acting as though the weather didn't matter, that's when you know it matters. Okay, you're out here running around half naked. You know your ass is cold. Don't be trying to play it off. Phony tough guys. No, man. It is chilly. It's 20 or below. It feels like it's 10. That's cold. But once you get out there and get lathered up and you hit somebody, it's a different atmosphere. So I'm not blaming the weather. No matter what climate, Ohio State was the better team versus Tennessee. And what Ohio State did, they showed their true colors. You have an incredible passing game when Will Howard is on, and he's been on most of the season. So they went there, unlike the Michigan game, where they tried to go and play bully ball. And Michigan could play that, and they didn't take advantage of their much-maligned secondary. So throw the weather out, man. I like the tournament. They got it right as far as the regular season. All those teams you mentioned, Andrew, sitting at home, especially Bama, don't score 3 points on the road versus a 5-win team at the time, Oklahoma. Ole Miss, don't lose at Florida. Don't lose to a Kentucky team. Well, I think they won one conference game, did Kentucky. So all that spilled milk, nah, I don't want to hear it.
Brian Jones is joining us. He's on fire this morning. We're talking about the college football playoff. He's a college football analyst for CBS, of course. Played at Texas, played at UCLA, played in the NFL. You know, Brian, we were talking about Kurt Cignetti. Speaking of, you know, talking tough, comes out on college game day before the game, basically doing a check my resume kind of thing. They go out. Final score didn't look as bad as it actually was. They got it handed to them by Notre Dame. We were wondering if this kind of takes away a little bit from Cignetti and from the story of Indiana, just because he kind of acted a little like the bully, and then the bully kind of got punched in the mouth, even though Indiana's a great story and we've loved it all year long. Do you think the final, how Cignetti was before the game, kind of took away from it?
Yeah, you're going to talk man talk. You better walk man talk, right? Mm-hmm. And they couldn't live up to the coach's hype. I still think they're a heck of a football team. All the teams they defeated, defeated them convincingly. Say maybe Northwestern and Michigan. Those were only two that were close ball games that they won. But everyone else, they pretty much beat by double, almost three scores. So they're a good football team. You only have the schedule that they give you any given particular year, and they ran through their schedule. And Notre Dame was the better football team, but they had opportunities. And if you have better quarterback play, Curtis Rourke, you have better quarterback play, Kevin Jennings, SMU, you have better quarterback play, maybe you win those ball games. That was the differentiator for me, was the quarterback play in both of those games. So Indiana, excellent football season. Their defense got worn out in that ball game. And I know everyone's getting on Coach Cignetti about the decision to punt when they were still down a couple of scores. They did get the ball back, as you said, Maggie, and made the score closer than it actually was throughout that ball game. But you just got to make plays and execute at the quarterback position. They didn't do that. SMU didn't do that. And that's why they're out of this tournament. So I have no problem with, you know, their coach talking big and bold. There's a guy that's been tweeting like crazy who does this all the time, sitting there in Oxford, Mississippi at Old Lane Kiffin. He does that, and I've been saying it for years. I was like, man, he always writes checks that his football team's ass can't cash. And it happened again. And so it gives us something to discuss, and it's better than the coach speak that we normally receive. So enjoy it. You know, we'll see what happens next year when they probably have a tougher schedule. We'll see how he revamps this squad, if he's heavily in the portal as he was a season ago when he took over. But great season, better quarterback play, maybe a more competitive game versus Notre Dame.
All right, Brian, this question cannot be asked now, but we have been discussing leading up to the Texas game, is the right quarterback playing for Texas? But all that being said, I didn't know they were going to run for 300 yards. How much confidence you have in Quinn Ewers?
Dude, clearly, my Longhorns were not facing their new daddy, Georgia, because you're right. They ran the rock like it was no one's business. I'm sitting there biting my nails when it becomes a 7-point game, and like, okay, what are we going to do here? And right out the gate, Jaden Blue takes the handoff 77 yards. Wisner, prior to that, did his thing. So they've been able to run versus everyone except for University of Georgia for some reason. Well, we know the reason. So as far as the quarterback situation, anyone that is well-versed in the University of Texas and its antics here in Austin, Texas, will tell you, the backup quarterback is always the most popular. And especially when the last name is Manning, and you've got a sip of that wine, man, with him getting a few starts with yours being out, and you all you wine drinkers know it only takes a sip of the wine to know if the bottle is good. And so everyone's sitting here waiting on Manning to get more run. He got some in that ball game, but I'm going to leave it to Coach Sarkisian, and he knows what's best. But once again, going back to quarterback play, much better in this game, more consistency as far as hit receivers from yours than in that SEC championship game and some others this season.
All right, Brian, last one for you, and thanks again for doing this today. This is a lot of fun. You've gotten me back into this thing. Okay, we've got four games now. We got Penn State, heavy favorite over Boise State. You got your Texas Longhorns, heavy favorite over Arizona State. Then Ohio State, Oregon, that's just a Ohio State favored by 2.5, and Georgia 1.5-point favorite over Notre Dame. Are we getting any upsets in the second round, or do you think this is going to be chalk like the first round?
Wow, it's going to be interesting. You know, you got teams such as the Georgians and Oregon sitting at home on that bye, and I would rather have been a team that played this past week. You still had a nice little break. So, for instance, Texas lost the SEC championship game. What, they have about 10 days until they played this past weekend. So you still have a little bit of a break. And just talking to my guys, my colleagues at CBS, we all, to a man, said, man, I'd rather have that schedule than where I'm sitting at home for a couple of weeks and you just practice it and really have nothing to look forward to for 2 weeks. That can be difficult, and you can find a lot of good trouble, you know what I mean, during that break. But, Maggie, to tell you the truth, Notre Dame, if Riley Leonard can get hot and if they can master what Haynes King and Georgia Tech did to Georgia, they may have a shot, because it was Haynes King's and those legs and running the zone read that really had Georgia's defense cross-threaded. A few weeks back, it almost upset those guys. What'd they go, 7, 8 overtimes in that ball game? So maybe that happens. I like this defense. I don't think you're going to be able to run through Notre Dame's defense in the manner in which Georgia did in the second half versus Texas. And you look at Arizona State and my man Cam Scatterboo. Woo, he is a load. That is John Riggins 2.0 coming right at you. So Texas, they're going to have a good test trying to stop this running game, something they couldn't do second half versus ETN and the Georgia Bulldogs in that SEC championship game. In the first iteration, they couldn't stop ETN either. He had a couple of touchdowns in that ball game. So I wouldn't be surprised if we had some upset. I'm going to go out. I could see Ohio State winning this rematch with Oregon. I definitely could see that. It helps that it's, you know, considered neutral, even though it's closer to Oregon's campus than it is in Ohio State. But everyone's familiar, Big Ten, Pac-12, with that Rose Bowl. So I'm going to say we'll have at least one upset. Yeah, at least one. Hopefully, it's not them damn Sun Devils.
I mean, I just can't imagine the look on Matthew McConaughey's face, Brian. You know, we can't see
hell
him sad.
My face. I actually left blood, sweat, and tears on that field. He didn't. He's just out there cheering, which we love. Good for him. We love you, Matthew. But no, for those of us who've been out there and slugging those pads around, man, imagine the look on our face. You see the look on my face the other night when he got close.
Yeah, you're right. His face doesn't move. Brian, thank you so much. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Good luck to your Longhorns. Enjoy the games. And again, thank you for doing this. You're the best.
Same to you, too. Appreciate you. Hook them.
All right. I don't know. McConaughey doesn't seem too frozen in time. Don't you wonder what that jacket smells like? He's been wearing it since the Vince Young game.
Yeah. I mean, cigar smoke, body odor. I don't know. I'll bet you he can bottle that up and sell it.
I might buy it. Hold tight for a second. Bogish is here. We're going to get to headlines in just a moment. It's M&P. Welcome back. Maggie, Perloff, you. Holidays are here. Thank you to Brian Jones, who joined us to talk about the college football playoff, and Harold Reynolds, who joined us last hour to share memories of Ricky Henderson, who passed away over the weekend. You can always catch that in the Maggie and Perloff podcast or hit the rewind function on the Odyssey app. Big Dave is our pal in Kentucky. Merry Christmas, Dave. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Merry Christmas to you and all of yours. I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're good. What do you think about your boy Mike McCarthy coming up 4 out of 5? Cowboys have been winners here, showing a little spunk at the end of the season.
He's did a decent job. They've got some of their players back. The problems that they had, and I'm not a fan of his, you guys know that. I just think he doesn't actually he doesn't reek of leadership, but it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. I mean, there's personnel issues with that team at the interior line on both sides of the ball. Y'all are burying the lead here. What about Cooper Rush's performance?
What about it?
Oh, come on.
Are you saying that he's gonna make a run at the starting job? Is that what we're hearing, Dave?
The performance I saw yesterday was as good as anything that Dak put up this year.
No, but You're right, but when the Bucs were really trying to come back, he couldn't really get a first down.
Yeah. Well, he did well. But anyway, hey, talk about the college playoffs yesterday, worst loss.
Yeah.
Not really because they were expected to win, but just the totality of everything because they're such losers. Anyway, the worst team and fan base in the country is no one other than the Tennessee Succoteers. you know, their players are bright. You know, they're talking about they were going to plant the flag in the center of the field and all that, and they got the flag stuck somewhere that I won't mention. But listen, I think by the time this is all done, the Michigan loss to Ohio State is going to be the best thing that could possibly have happened to them, because I think if they beat Oregon, I think they're going to win it all.
You know what, Dave? It's fair, and thanks for calling in. Thanks for making the point. Great to hear from you, and Merry Christmas, as we said, and happy holidays. Definitely. I mean, this could wake up a sleeping giant, that Michigan loss.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shame for Ohio State that they needed to wake up before a Michigan game. You would think that they would be alert for that. A lot of question marks. Let's not discount Oregon. I mean, I feel like people are seeing that Tennessee game and think the same thing is going to happen against the Ducks. I think this is going to be a classic down-to-the-wire game, and I don't think that they're going to see the offensive highlights from Ohio State. I mean, that was crazy how well that worked out for them. I can't see that happening against Oregon.
As for Cooper Rush, you know, listen, he's playing very well, and I'm not just going to say for a backup. Yeah. Like, he's playing fine, but as Tampa's making their run in the second half, these were the drives. Field goal, punt, 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 and the last three punts were three and outs.
Yeah, but they were definitely trying to kill clock too, because they had the game under. They thought
not
they had
a great
the
way to do it. They had a drive for a minute 38, a minute 39, and 56 seconds.
Yeah, I'm not saying they successfully did that, but honestly, like, one of the things Cooper Rush, they were stacking the box. The Bucks were all up on the run, so I think the Bucks were shocked when Cooper Rush started throwing over the top. I agree, like, he's not a threat to Dak, but again, if you're a Cowboys fan, I know Big Dave is not longer. Like, what are you looking forward to? What is there ever going to be another Super Bowl run? Like, ever?
Did you see a funny moment, funny visual when Kevontae Turpin got wrapped up by Vita Vea?
No,
Vita Vea's literally more than double the size of Kevontae Turpin. Turpin weighs like 150 pounds. Vita Vea weighs 340. It was hilarious. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Guys, one more good morning. Headline sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. They had control of the NFC South. They had the ball with a chance to take the lead last night, and then the Bucs lost their grip on everything.
Here's the snap. Mayfield back to pass. Looking left. In trouble. Hit in the backfield. And he will flip it out to White, who makes the catch. Breaks a tackle across the 30. Out to the 32. The ball came out. And the Cowboys have it. The Cowboys took it away.
And then kneeled out a 26-24 win. Ryan Radke had the call on Westwood 1. Since the Falcons beat up the Giants in the afternoon, Tampa falls into a tie with Atlanta atop the NFC South, with the Falcons owning the tiebreaker. The Cowboys, meanwhile, eliminated from playoff contention earlier Sunday when the Commanders took that thriller from the Eagles. The Niners knocked out by the Commanders, and the Rams winning. The Cardinals done after losing in OT in Carolina. You guys mentioned this a few minutes ago. The Giants now have a stranglehold on the number one pick because the Raiders had to win for the first time since September 29th yesterday, 19-14 over the Jaguars. Antonio Pierce does not care about your tanking.
Long overdue. Good. Good to see all those smiling faces from our players, our staff, everybody involved in the organization. Obviously, you don't want to go through what we went through over the last 10 weeks, but that's behind us. I thought it was a great win. Great job by our home crowd.
I believe he also directed all questions to GM Tom Telesco about her in their draft stock with this win yesterday.
Yeah, those two guys clearly not getting along. Josina Anderson had a report a couple weeks ago that Telesco was distancing himself from Antonio Pierce. Like, they're trying to play the blame game, and each guy is probably trying to save their job. I can't even imagine what those meetings are like behind the scenes.
The Raiders are now one of five teams with three wins. Those Giants are 2-13 with the Colts and Eagles left. Indy kept itself alive yesterday, holding off the Titans 38-30 behind 218 yards and three scores from Jonathan Taylor. Tonight, we get the Packers
hosting the Saints. Steve Belichick will apparently finally become North Carolina's D coordinator after Washington's bowl game on New Year's Eve. That's when his $1.2 million buyout goes away. Washington has reportedly spoken to possible replacements already. Some baseball signings overnight and this morning. Yahoo Sports says the Red Sox and former Dodgers righty Walker Buehler shaking hands on a one-year deal worth $21 million. That's after the Mets bring back lefty starter Sean Manaea, $75 million over three seasons for him. The Phillies traded for Marlins lefty Jesus Luzardo yesterday, and the Rangers are reportedly signing veteran DH Jock Peterson 2 years and $37 million. NBA last night, Nikola Jokic, 27 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists to drag the Nuggets past the Pelicans, 132-129 in overtime, and the Pacers thumped the Kings in Sacramento, 122-95. And finally, there are segues, and then there's this from our good friends on WFAN during the 5 a.m. Eastern hour today.
It's cold out there, but this might warm you up. It's a car fire heading into Manhattan at the Queens Midtown Tunnel. All lanes are shut down.
What?
Wait a minute. That's a good line.
That was the traffic report, and it was serious, and it continued.
A big mess at the Midtown Tunnel. It's a car fire on this really cold day. Hopefully, it'll warm you up a little bit.
Are people stopping at the car fire to roast marshmallows? What are we doing?
I mean, thankfully, no one's in the car, right? Everyone's safe?
We hope.
Do we know?
It doesn't sound like anyone cares, as long as you can warm your hands by a burning carburetor.
I want to see the person that's getting on the FDR drive, to, you know, a highway to like, she's like, ooh, there's some fire over there. I've been waiting for this.
Let me roll my window down.
Yeah.
I also love the folksy, like, ho, 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 everybody. Is that Santa's sleigh? No, it's a car on fire.
So I'm just curious, was the fire inside the tunnel? Because I'm just thinking that'll take hours to clear. This traffic is going to stink today.
He's
turtleneck question.
Again, none of us are thinking about the person whose car is on fire. You're thinking about your commute home.
Do you understand what that will do to the LIE? And like, and I mean, you're talking about the juncture of the Grand Central, the BQE, and the LIE all around the Queens Midtown Tunnel. This is a disaster.
Somebody in Boise right now is just like, what are you talking about?
Car on fire and tunnel. That's all you need to know.
But it's okay because it's cold. So it's exactly what the doctor ordered
really
today.
Cold out.
It's 5 degrees. Maybe snuggle up to a nice car fire.
Find a burning Honda.
Yeah. Grab a blanket, grab your boyfriend, and snuggle up next to this burning Toyota Camry.
Very
jolly. I just feel like people are getting bored with their jobs. Because I heard
lighting their cars on fire?
No. We're trying to figure out transitions. I heard a transition the other day that was crazy that I told Bogus about.
Well, now you got to tell the class.
Yeah, so it was like, I guess, now thankfully I will say the child didn't get hurt. But it started with, you know, there's a website called Mess Around and Found Out. Well, this kid did when he accidentally shot himself with a gun.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I'm in the bathroom listening to this on the Alexa. I'm like, did I just hear that? Did I actually just hear that? This is one of our friends from 1010 Wins.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. The news shouldn't have to spice it up. Like, I get a good tease here and there, keep you through the commercial break. But you're the news. Like, people are listening to you for the news.
I like a nice spiced rum with my spicy news as well.
And there's a lesson to teach people with playing with guns, but the 1010 Wins news anchor is not the person to deliver that lesson.
Is that J-Lo's?
Definitely not.
J-Lo's sister?
No, it was a male voice.
Okay.
I got to tell you, I love the little snippets that I get at 1010 Wins and some of their crazy stories there. That's like half the information that I bring to the show.
Great. But the thing is, I love a snarky traffic update, but not when the car's on fire.
But I assume nobody died, otherwise they wouldn't do this. I think that was a really funny transition.
You'll find out on your commute home.
Or when there's a new traffic woman tomorrow.
Oh, at this place?
Yeah.
Oh my God. At this place, if you get fired for that, that'd be surprising.
Oh, my goodness.
Carlos is wearing no clothes on Halloween. I think
I remember.
He'll be fine.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish. Rami is in with us today. Thank you to Rami, handling all of our social media. Perloff, happy holidays to you and yours. Bogish and I will be in with you tomorrow.